السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه، ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين والخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the previous week, I mentioned how the followers of Ahlul Bayt, the Shia Muslims, are distinct from others. In what ways they are different? One of them was their open-minded approach to understanding the history of Islam, the intricacies and the complexities in the history of Islam. The history of Islam is not simple. It's not a black and white. It's not one group followed the truth and the other always followed falsehood. Some of them in the beginning were very good, were noble, but then they shifted 180 degrees. Some of them were not good in the beginning, but then they accepted the truth and justice. So we have to approach the history of Islam with open-mindedness, with understanding, with a critical thinking. We are not parrots. When we read, we have to analyze and we have to understand. So this is one difference. The second difference between Shia Muslims and others is in their recognition of their imams, of the successors to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Not only they recognized the legitimate successors to the Prophet, the imams that were appointed by God and conveyed and proclaimed by the Prophet himself, but also their loyalty, their faith in their imams. Therefore, during their birthdays, we celebrate the birthdays of our imams. We celebrate their martyrdom. If you ask others about the birth date of Fulan and Fulan and Fulan, they know nothing about them. They know nothing about their history. They know nothing about when they were born, when did they die, how did they die, what happened. They know nothing. Maybe 1%, 2% of what happened to them. But we take pride in knowing the legacy, the history, the life, the contribution, the sacrifice of our imams, the school of Ahlul Bayt. Some people, they chide us for that. They criticize. They say the Shia are too much. They have too much celebration. Every week, one wafat, one martyrdom, one birthday. What's wrong with that? If you are not wasting your time and if you are learning these events, the birthdays, mawalid and wafayat, the birthdays, the martyrdom, they get us closer to our imams. We understand them more. We fall in love with them. So we dedicate a day. What's wrong with that? America now is dedicating this whole weekend for the baseball in Atlanta, the whole weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every single family is speaking about the Super Bowl. Baseball or Super Bowl? I am the only one who's not good at this. So people are attached to this. I've seen some people inviting their friends over for Sunday. Come and spend the day with us. Let's barbecue. Let's watch the Super Bowl. Because they fall in love with it. They appreciate it. They like it. It's part of their life. It's part of their identity. So when we celebrate our super imams, they are part of our character, part of our identity. We learn from them. When we hear about their life and their contribution and their legacy, they transform our lives. So there is a benefit in that. There is attachment. There is nothing wrong when you get attached to the good people. There is wrong when you get attached to the wrong people, but not the leaders of mankind. Not the leaders of the humanity. There is every goodness when you get attached to them and learn from them and frequently listen to their traditions. So the third difference between Shia Muslims and others is in this critical point, that we in the school of Ahlul Bayt, we believe in i'tidal, wasatiyya and i'tidal, moderation, balanced approach to Islam. A balanced approach to Islam, a measured approach to Islam. We are not fanatics. God does not want us to be fanatic. Even when you love God, do not be fanatic. You must love Him out of understanding, out of conviction, out of appreciation. I mentioned last night at this podium that this book, the Holy Quran, there are two approaches to loving and caring about this book. One is inheritance, family tradition. 99% of the Muslims, they respect the Quran because they learned that from their families, from their environment, from their homes, from their parents. Only 1% of the Muslims, they fall in love with this book because of appreciation and understanding, intellectual and rational appreciation. Because they know this book is the book of the truth. They discovered that through research, through their homework. They discovered that this is a book of the truth. They are facts. This is a book of facts, not fictions. This is how should our approach be to Ahlul Bayt, to God, to Islam, to the Holy Quran. So we avoid excessiveness, excesses. We avoid extremism. Even in our love and hate, we should put emotions aside. When you love someone, when you love a concept, when you love Ahlul Bayt, your love should be based on rationality, on understanding. It should be reasonable, not a naive love, not a naive attachment, not an emotional one, not someone out of excitement, but out of understanding. When we love and when we hate, there is a reason. God says there must be a reason. You cannot say, I hate someone just because I hate him. There has to be a reason, logical reason. Why do you hate and why do you love? Both require logical and rational reasons. We cannot embrace an idea. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we never embrace an idea because of stubbornness. Because of stubbornness. I'm stubborn, therefore I love this idea. Our love for Ahlul Bayt should be rational, should be reasonable. It should be rooted in this book. What does this book tell me? Who should I follow after the Prophet? This book is replete with references to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most powerful, you cannot find it elsewhere, the most powerful reference to the sublimity and the superiority of the family of the Prophet is found in chapter 33, verse 33. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَحْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. An absolute spiritual, moral, material, and physical purity. God said this about no one. Search the Quran. He said this sentence, powerful sentence, about no one but the Prophet and his family. And according to the books of Hadith, Sahih Muslim and Nisa'i at-Tirmidhi, the family of the Prophet are himself, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein, alayhim as-salam. The approach should be ones based on wasat, wasatiyya, i'tidal, moderation. God says, I want this community to be a community of moderation. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. You are a community, a nation in the middle. Don't go to the extremes. Don't go. If you want to have a safe journey with Ahlul Bayt, with Islam, with God, you have to take the middle path. Don't go into the extremes. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. I will mention, inshallah, in the next session, in the next Friday when I am here, I am dedicating two sermons, two consecutive sermons, about why, though Shia Islam, the case is so powerful, but people do not convert to Shia Islam. What is the reason? There must be a reason. Our case is powerful, but why people are not converting? Few numbers, small numbers, not a huge numbers. Shia Islam has to prevail today, East and West. Why this is not happening? There are reasons, and I'm going to mention the reasons. The most important reasons is not Shia Islam itself, it is ourselves. We who represent Shia Islam, we who claim that we are Shias and followers of Ahlul Bayt, we are the biggest deterrents, deterring people from discouraging them, our behavior, our manner, our societies, our families, our relationships, deters people from accepting this path, this way. And this is exactly what Imam al-Sadiq says. Imam al-Sadiq pleads to his community, please, please, كونوا زينا لنا ولا تكونوا شينا علينا. I want you to be good ambassadors, qualified ambassadors, good legitimate ambassadors, nice ambassadors for Shia Islam. Be careful of what you say. Be careful of what you do. Be careful when you deal with your wife, with your children, with your neighbors, with your partners, with your friends. Be careful, because you are ambassadors. Don't forget you are ambassadors. If you do something good, people are going to say, رحم الله جعفرا فلقد أدب شيعته. May God bless the soul of Ja'far al-Sadiq. He knew how to raise good community. رحم الله جعفرا فلقد أدب شيعته. These are the instructions of our imams. Every single day say to yourself, every single morning, I am a Shia Muslim, I am an ambassador of Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq. I am the ambassador of Ali ibn Abi Talib. I have to be careful. And I have to be different with others. We don't deal with others. We do not deal with others with their own standards. We deal with them with our own standards, our own manners. We have a specific manners. We learn it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and Ahlul Bayt. So moderation in our thinking, moderation in our approach, moderation in our understanding, and moderation in our relationships with others. And I have to elaborate on this more and more. Even when we
love the Prophet and Imam Ali and Ahlul Bayt, we do not love them excessively with no reason. There is a reason. I love Imam Ali, but I don't put him above the Prophet. Imam Ali is below the Prophet. I love Fatima al-Zahra, but I don't put her above her father, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas in other traditions, if you open a book of Sahih al-Bukhari, you find this story. You find there are some scholars and imams and traditions and in the entire madhab that puts the second caliph above the Prophet. He is more important than the Prophet. I'm not saying this out of ta'assub. I have dalil, evidence. The book is on my desk, Sahih al-Bukhari. It says one day, a woman came to the Prophet. He came back from a trip, victorious. She said, Ya Rasulullah, I made a nadr, vow, that if you come back victorious with your army, I am going to stand before you and sing a song. The Prophet said, since you made another, then you have to sing. La ilaha illallah. Tawfiq ijbari, we say in Arabic. Since you made a nadr, a vow, you made a pledge, then inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi. Okay, sing. So the lady was singing and the Prophet enjoyed the song. Of course, it's a fabricated story. Then Abu Bakr came and he joined the Prophet and he enjoyed the song. When Umar showed up, women immediately, she made a U-turn and she flee. She ran away. The Prophet said, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Umar is so strong in haq and justice and truth that even shaitan cannot stand Umar. Shaitan, whenever he sees Umar, he runs away to another destination. Shaitan does not run from the Prophet, remember, huh? According to this hadith. Shaitan does not run away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not afraid of the Prophet, but he's afraid of Umar ibn al-Khattab. What does that tell you? Isn't this an insult to the Prophet of Islam? It is an insult to the intelligence of the all Muslim Ummah who believe these stories. And do you know this story has been repeated almost every Friday in the Friday sermons, and people believe in that? So Umar is much stronger than the Prophet in his faith. Because the shaitan runs away from him, but he does not run away from the Prophet. We do not believe in this nonsense. These are fabrications. We respect the Prophet. The Prophet is the founder of Islam. No one above the Prophet, none of the companions, none of the wives of the Prophet, none of the children of the Prophet, none imam, no single imam, not even a single prophet of God, not even Ibrahim al-Khalil or Musa or Isa are above Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let me conclude with something, a powerful statement that God said about the Prophet that he never said about anyone, including Ibrahim al-Khalil. God says in this book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.